A few people have joined us already. That's good.
Okay, recording has started.
All right, thank you. Welcome, everyone. This is the weekly TSE call. It's open to everyone. Welcome to participate and contribute. There are two conditions to fulfill, though. First one is to live by the antitrust policy, the notice of which is currently displayed on your screen if you look logging in through Zoom app. The other piece is the code of conduct, which basically requires you to behave like a decent human being. I always kind of laugh saying this because to me, that's what it comes down to. Of course, it's kind of a shortcut, but an experience shows these things are necessary. So with this being done, we have a couple of announcements to get started. And we do have pretty full agenda, as a matter of fact. So let's keep cranking.
Okay. I'll make the first announcement really short.
That's okay. Just take your time. Do it.
Click the My Profile link and make sure that you can log in and see your stuff and your LFID. And this is the future of where you'll manage your LFID. So more features are coming there soon. And just please give it a whirl. And if you run into anything, let me know. Thank you.
But so I have a question, right? I mean, in terms of functionality, what does that really do? Is that just a new UI and makes it easier to update your profile, or does that have any impact on any of the systems we use?
Someday it will.
Ah.
So for instance, you can see that I have GitHub, LinkedIn, and Gmail accounts connected. You can set your forwarding address if you have a linux.com email. Stuff like that. So you can also see your previous attendance and events. That may or may not matter, but yes, in the future, this will be a more fully fleshed out UI where you'll be able to do stuff like edit your information. So.
Okay, so that's important to kind of motivate people to update their profile, because that might help with some of the issues we have been having with maybe the DCO eventually, but also the election process, right?
That's why I put it first, exactly. Anyway.
Yeah, but you need to explain it to people. Don't assume it's obvious. Thank you, Wright. Any questions or comments on this?
Is this similar to the members thing that Mara sent out, or is that just for Member Summit?
That's distinct.
Thank you.
All right. And then there is a TSE election announcement. Who's going to talk to this?
That is mine.
Okay.
So if you go to the TSE election page, that's linked. Well, actually here. Yeah. So we'll do the TSE election announcement. So the collection of who is eligible to vote will begin this coming Sunday. And I'm going to be running the script that gathers eligible voters on a daily basis, so that if people go to the page to test to see if they're eligible or not, and it shows up they're not eligible. If you have any questions, email the election at list.hyperledger.org email. Otherwise, if it's because you haven't made any contributions and you want to, then you have until August 30th to get something in. There's plenty of bugs, plenty of documentation that needs to be written, that kind of stuff. And then the last item here is that the election at list.hyperledger.org is meant for dealing with issues with eligibility or any questions or access or anything like that. And I'm looking for anybody who cares about our election process and wants to help out. I'm looking for volunteers. So go ahead and email the elections mailing list saying you'd like to volunteer and I can add you. That mailing list is going to be kept private amongst the volunteers because we want to be able to deal with people's personal information. You know, here's my email address, whatever, can you add me, that kind of stuff. So I'm just telling everybody up front that it's not going to be open to everybody to see the messages sent, but anybody can volunteer for the list to help out. So that's the end of the announcement. And then we have an item for discussion on the election plan later. Yep.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Okay. So
question on the actual list. So you're not doing sort of email matching, and could you maybe explain a little bit about what you're doing for that? Like, I have one's eligible and one isn't.
Yeah. So we're running through, so we have the scripts that we've used in the past, which mm-hmm. goes through all of our repos to gather all the email addresses. There are a few cases where we find multiple email addresses. And I plan to be emailing out. There's only like 50 or so of those where there's multiple email addresses we get for somebody. My plan is to email out like today or tomorrow to each of those three and ask people, or each of those, you know, multiple email addresses, ask them which one they want to use. And I will then mail merge them. Like, basically I'll update our database so that the one you choose is the one that you will use. And that will be what you get all the elections communications on. That's what will be in the check tool. And that's what you'll be use when you, well, I don't remember exactly the Condorcet login, but I think you use an email. So yeah, that'll become your identity for voting.
And Chris, for you specifically, most likely in the past, I combined your multiple email addresses into one, specifically your Gmail one. And so that's why your other one or other ones are not showing up.
Okay.
Yeah, so I haven't fixed the check tool yet. So like, if you punch any of those in, it's not going to come up because the string value in the check tool has like pipes in it, lots of email addresses for you, Chris. So I'm going to be fixing that today. That's a time. Okay.
Well, no, one of them came up fine. Yeah, the other one didn't.
Chris is fine.
Okay.
Folks who have multiple.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I just have to pay attention to my Gmail, which is flooded with spam.
Well, we're going to talk about the plan later. I plan to be sending out email communication to everybody who is eligible, to all their eligible emails. So. Yep. Whichever one you receive an email about the election on, that's the one to use.
Okay. Chris, if you prefer a different one, let me know. I can make the update.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Or you can email elections@list.hyperledger.org. That's and get it in our queue.
All right. With that being said, as Dave said, I mean, there's an agenda item specific to discussing the plan, reviewing it, and agreeing to it. So let's move on to the quarterly reports for now. We got three of them, So Indy, Transact, and the working group, technical working group China, also sent a report, and they actually had some interesting item to bring up. So I thought we could also discuss that later in the agenda. Is there anything other than that anybody wants to bring up that I didn't put on the agenda? Because as far as I remember, there's nothing about Indy that was sticking out. I noticed that not everybody has reviewed the report yet, but I assume this will be done shortly. Regarding Transact, Gary brought up the point that maybe, you know, they should be folded within Sawtooth if there's no other project using it. And so I actually, you know, Dano had a reaction to this, and I thought, okay, instead of discussing it now, I'd rather bring that up as an agenda item. So it's part of the discussion items for later. And the China group had specifically an issue with regard to dealing with the cryptography standards, which I believe has been recurrent, but also thought, okay, maybe we can discuss this on the agenda. So I don't know if there's anybody who wants to ask anything specific to this or wants to discuss any of these reports. This is the time to speak up.
Do you want to create an issue to talk about this one? Or because, I mean, we've talked about this Yes. Actually, at length, right? Back when we were looking at, you know, like sub projects and that, you know, sort of concept, to sort through the, what if there's a project, you know, under Hyperledger, not Labs, but under Hyperledger, that is applicable to a single other project. Now, Denno raises the case, well, what about this thing that's, you know, sort of Ethereum specific, but that's not Besu specific, that's Ethereum specific. So I don't think that's a sub project per se. But I mean, we did sort of rule, right, that, you know, where there's really only one consumer, that they should work with the maintainers of the, if you will, the parent project.
Yeah, the problem is their intent was broader than that, right? So on that basis, we created
for Transact.
And the question is, how do we manage this? So let's not get too deep into this now. I want to just go over the quarterly reports for now, and we can go back to this.
But that's why I asked, are you making a discussion topic about this? If that's
yes,
the case, then
I'm in the discussion section of the agenda, there is a point on that. Mm-hmm. But back to the technical working group China report. Is David on?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I thought you wanted to highlight a few things you said, and so this is your chance.
Yes, actually, besides of that kind of quarterly reports, I dropped a little bit of several slides in our comments. Could you let me have a chance to share my screen, or you just go through the report first? I could better go through the report first. Okay. Yes. Okay, there we go. Yes.
Can you not share? I don't see anything.
Yeah, I can.
It's coming. Yeah, it's now clear? I see it.
Because I'm looking in Hong Kong, maybe some distance from your
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. Yes. It's on now.
Okay, Hong Kong is good.
Carry on.
But telecoms. This here. Okay, this is why I have to try to grab the important information of the what is Chinese crypto standards on or Hyperledger standard or Hyperledger fabrics. First, full screen is better. Yes, full screen is better. The background is that it has been a long time ago issues that you can see the number is under 10,000. If FAB 54966, at this moment of time, I'm not the committee board, one of the TWGC, this is Bao Hua raised up. But 2020, this year, it is market up. This issue is market up still. But why I raise it up again and reopen it as a to-do status? Because as you can see here, the Financial Distribution Ledger Technology Security Specification, this is the code of this kind of specification. It is newly raised by China's People Bank, which is why it is American Federated. Maybe Jay Gore can catch it for Mei Lian Chu. So no matter how it is, a central bank, something like a similar to do. It is not a business bank, it is a governance bank. Distributed kind of security specification is primarily on the Chinese. It is released and applied on these states. And it's quite kind of shocking because before this time, that we just simply discuss whether it's good to have one. But after that purely standards comes out, we have to have a reference we have to follow. Although it is T for the recommends. So it is also, it is still a recommend standard, but it will be applied to JR means in Chinese words means finance. So this is a recommend standard for all the adoption of of DLT technology in finance. The voice coming from the central bank. So there will be rumors and gossip of ones after that. So some of the competitors of Hyperledgers, something like BCOS, Superchains, and all the other consumerity will blame whether, okay, Fabric is not native support of in that specification. We have already done a review. Maybe I can see it later. Yes, we've already done a complex analysis review for the this kind of towards Fabrics on and the specification. This is still work in progress, and this percentage is under progress. And another, then the last point we have said in the background is, even before the specification comes out, there's already a lot of trials to migrate Fabrics to make it as compatible to a GM crypto library. We have gathered a statistic to at least 5 fork, which are some of them are well maintained and some of them are not, but at least 5, above 7s are collected in our statistics. And people, and once after the specification is released, people is, we are, our Fabric communities in our mainland China is have been frequently asked that where is the China's crypto fork of Fabric, which is the standard one, which is the recommended one, which I have a paper to fast have an iteration of based on. So after that, we are more frequently being asked. So this is our response. The first trial is that we have quite a large table. You can visit the link here. This is something I can have first. Maybe you could have
No, we don't have time to get into the details.
So okay, yes, yeah, sure. It's quite large. This is our analysis towards, and the next. So because we have already found a lot of conflicts in that doc on the analysis. So we reorganized a cooperation path with names other Fabric. The original name is Fabric's Open Governance GMs. So this is a wiki, and we already collect the potential collaborator about 515 and 5 maintainers. We raise as an initial maintainers. Okay. And what we structure in current status is we will already write 3 streams as a crypto library. So you may wonder why there will be 3 streams instead of just one library that satisfies all the standards. It seems the same thing as something like you may have open SSL and also boring SSL. So that's simply their implementation in different way and from an issue from the different parties. So some of the, what happened? What happened? Okay, maybe my mouse has some problems. Sorry. And three is an institution, the Peking University is an institution. This is a company, this is a company. And the bracket ones is the most commonly used because it is also alongside provide a Fabric fork. But this kind of fork, although it's a quite frequently used. The last commit time is still at 2 years ago, more than. So we also have a fork of Fabrics under the TWGC org. Yes, we only maintain a release port at the latest LTS and master branch. And potentially we may have another GM plugin, maybe. So it is placed to store the implementation of BCCSP GM GM style of GRCPC and new X509 interface for all the 3 streams. So once it is done, the Fabrics also exposed to only had an interactive with this plugin instead of all the 3 zone one. So this is the one, maybe we will have a pre-built Golang conditional builds when go inside the Golang. So The following is our currently drafted designs. First, on the fabric itself part, we are proposing whether we could have the first point is that we're trying to migrate from the hard-coded crypto part, at least includes a SHA-256 to hash-to-hash interface and crypto X500, which we log into the Go native package source code. So we found it, it is all done by the switch. It could be whether it is ECDSA or ISA or then because they are all structuring in the switch and cases, so it would be hard to plug in into another crypto library besides of his already defined ones. So we will also collect some statistics stack to collect all the functions related to X500 and I used in fabrics and making to get all the methods together and functions together to make it as an interface. It's here, we will maybe, this part of interface may be put into the fabric or the GM plugin. And another more harder part is the crypto config outside the BCCSP. We have already found at least two parts. The first is the crypto config session in each MSP definition and the hashing algos value in the global, or I say it's the global scope of the channel. Okay, and we also have the three streams of the crypto libraries. That's three times here. So we also make some works on apply on here. It will be some of the CI alignments with Fabric builds, a Go version alignment, OS image, Azure pipeline, a behavior test to have a better. Yes, the third part is the GM plugin. But before that we go, along with this part, we have some wondering questions. I'm still stuck in on, or maybe the blocking on the middle, is that some of the design concepts which are not fully implemented or documents in Fabric itself. For example, if there's some parking, okay.
No, but I think this is good. I mean, I think people understand what this is about. I feel like some of these questions are too low levels, fabric specific. You're not going to get much answers on this call, though. Of course, we have people like Gary who probably can answer some of them. But I'm more interested in, stepping back a little bit. And I would like to know, I mean, is that a fabric specific problem? How does URSA deal with this? Is URSA a solution or what? Any reactions from anybody?
Actually, what I see, because we also have discussed the how should we consider or place URSA as a role, because in Hyperledger there's also one effort making to URSA as a basic crypto library, is it? So yes, it is true. So we also have some internal discussion. So you may see, actually, these three streams as the GM crypto library, they are what I see them is a parallel or equivalent to URSA. Itself is self-contained and work quite well. So I'm not sure whether these three streams can all put into the URSA as a source, but actually they work as the same.
Okay.
They provide the BCCSP interface. They can provide all the spectrum of both the symmetric or asymmetric encrypts and also the alternative of TRS ways. And also the definition, includes the definition of the certificates interface. But all
just Arnold, this is Jay. I just like to provide a little bit of background. So basically, yes. all these software, not only blockchain, all these software sold in China, if it's dealing with some core functionality or relate to national security, like core banking or some financial institution, then it need to conform with China regulations like this one. It needs to establish the, for example, security connection using the China cryptographic regulation. So it's not really only about blockchain, and it's certainly not only about Hyperledger fabric. and but it's not applied to all the software. For example, if this is dealing with commercial application or just some not like core functionality that's related to national security, then that's fine. We can just use like RSA or whatever crypto algorithm that's internationally popular. But since blockchain sometimes, or a lot of times we're dealing with banking, this is why this is probably particularly important for us to support the China cryptographic algorithms, if that makes sense.
That's interesting because it depends on the field of application.
Exactly. And as David mentioned before, the newly published regulation we are currently reviewing within China Working Group, this is recommended specification, but it's kind of got attention among all the banks and financial institutions here. And we're not very certain whether this will become the de facto standards within the industry, but we just want to be precautious and to see how much we are like how much conflict we currently have against this specification and what actions we could take. And for one, there's incorporating China cryptographic algorithms could be one of the action. Actually, this is the biggest, biggest barrier in terms of complying with this spec. And some others like we need to have account system or whatever, that could be all solved in my opinion, at the application level.
All right, thank you. Anyone else? Any comments or reactions?
Yeah. Hey, Arno, this is Dave Huseby. Sorry, I dropped off there for the last minute, so stop me if I'm being redundant. Originally, URSA was going to be the way we got abstractions for allowing national crypto standards into the Hyperledger projects, but Fabric maintainers decided not to go with URSA some time ago. So that's fine. If we want to support anything like this in Fabric, obviously it needs to be modular. My only ask is that compiling Fabric with any specific national crypto standard, whether it's Chinese or NIST or Russian crypto standard, that it takes extra work so that you cannot compile Fabric by default with those standards enabled, right? That's my only ask. Just from a security maven standpoint. Other than that, I think it's just going to require a lot of communication and coordination between the Fabric maintainers and the developers who want to add these national crypto standards to Fabric. I personally have no problem with it.
All right, thank you. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Angelo. So I'm the designer of the BCCSP module in Fabric. So I have a comment. I guess, especially for the banking system, to the best of my knowledge, most of the time you are using HSMs. So Fabric can already interface HSMs, and then it doesn't matter which are the algorithms so that the HSMs are actually running. Is this fine, or do we have also specifications for the HSM, or do you use a different API for the HSMs?
Yes, they did have, because most of the interface for the HSM is mostly we are using is PKCS 11s. Yes. Yes, that's definitely. But most of the security hardware in mainland China is not designed at this way. They have two standards, namely they are SKF and SDF. So rarely of the HM hardwares have any idea of what is this kind of interface.
So just to make sure that I understood, Chinese HSM hardware that speaks PKC S11.
Also, again, it's the China's regulation define another interface named SKF for the PCIe card.
And you are forbidden to use PKC S11. Okay, got it. Okay.
Yes.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
Maybe you go first.
Yeah, I think we have our call now. So it's falling over. Are you close to finish?
I'm sorry. I think there's a messed up.
We would still have a problem. Our calls are in there. But anyway, I think, look, the way to proceed, I mean, get the cryptographic algorithms or whatever, right, we can deal with. I think the two bigger problems with this are, right, working on the gRPC side, because essentially gRPC fundamentally limits you to TLS 1.2 and TLS 1.3 approved algorithms, of which there are no versions of those that actually include, you know, SM4. I haven't looked at the latest spec of the China stuff, so I'm not sure what algorithms they're actually talking about in there. But basically, those aren't going to be approved cryptographic ciphers under TLS 1.2 or 1.3. So you have to override that, right? And that becomes a pain in the butt, because then somebody has to go basically say they're going to always maintain this fork of it, or we have to decide how we want to do that. I would probably just not create a custom BCCSP, and because I think we're avoiding too much stuff, we can add additional algorithms to the existing software one. The hardware one on PKCS11, even if they did support PKCS11, we still actually call specific operations on the HSM that are literally calling out ECDSA, so you'd have to change that. We could also discuss another interface if we want to look at how we call HSM.
Sorry, guys. This is the, I think you ran out in the end. Now it's a different call, so we need to start.
Okay, so Rai, do you know what this is about?
Just half an hour.
This seems to be a messed up on the Zoom.
You guys need to wait.
Yeah, we have been using this backup slot for the last 6 months, and we have.
We've been using it for 5 years.
A TSC call. You've got the wrong link.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really strange.
Oh, really?
We've been always using this call, and there was never a clash.
Harsha, when we moved from Tuesday to Thursday, did you clarify that this, because the Hyperledger has, I think, only two links, and they share them between the different calls, so you need to clarify.
I need you guys to sort this out elsewhere. Okay.
So, sorry, Gary.
This is for 30 minutes more?
Yeah, this call goes for another 30 minutes.
Thanks, guys.
25, 26.
Yeah, talk to me or Ryan. We can help you guys find a slot and a time and a call.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I'll talk to you. Sorry for the problem. Yeah, bye.
No, it's okay. All right. So I would like to actually close on this now, because, you know, a lot of this seems to be very fabric specific. I think I saw on the comment that on the page that Brian suggested an RFC. I would agree with this. If it's just to solve fabric's problem, then I think you're better off having the kind of discussion, you know, to address the points that Gary was on, which, you know, clearly highlights that it's not an easy thing to tackle. There are many different ways you could go at it. And this would be best discussed with the fabric maintainers. So you can have a RFC, you can have put an agenda on the maintainers or contributors call, one of those, you know, so that you can follow up on the discussion with the maintainers. I was interested in the discussion at a bit of higher level. I'm not sure I got that much, but, you know, is URSA solving this problem already, you know, and how other projects, you know, how do other projects deal with it? But
so I think URSA solves this problem in theory, but there's a lot of issues calling Rust code from Go, which is sort of the biggest, which is one of the biggest limiting factors at this point with using URSA with Fabric. Obviously, URSA is mostly written in Rust.
But again, I think people need to, I mean, I'll just leave it at, I think Arno, you're right, we should do it in here. I mean, the bigger point in here is, right, there can be items, people could have had forks, nobody's ever really submitted any code for our review. You know, no one's ever come back and actually, like, asked, you know, I mean, they've asked questions, right? On the URSA thing, right, but cryptographic algorithms, and then actually how cryptographic algorithms are exploited are two different things. So, you know, if we want to tackle things piecemeal, we can. Happy to help. It's interesting. I think on this spec, I'd be interested in seeing that things can really change. I've heard the same thing about Russian ghost algorithms for years, and I have shipped commercial products in that country for banking that have never actually implemented Ghost. I actually went to Russia and said I'd implement Ghost if you gave me an HSM that did it. And they were like, okay, and they never did. So, you know, I don't have a problem doing it. I think the bigger breakdown is, you know, finding a better way to, you know, collaborate. I think there's also people who want it. So it's good that they want to bring these algorithms there. That's fine by me. We can figure out, you know, how to do it and have a discussion of it. And then, you know, as with everything, anything that goes into the tree really comes down to who's going to maintain stuff going forward. That was kind of the notion of the plugin stuff. Unfortunately, that failed because it's not supported well by Go. We have other options, but, you know, the main thing where we're critical on stuff is people can't just abandon code, right? You can't have Fabric be a dumping ground for, like, you know, one experiment or whatever, and then have it go, because then people like, you know, myself, Angela, or whatever, when people try to use it, get stuck trying to fix it. And we only have so much bandwidth.
All right. So with this being said, I'm going to move on. Thank you. Thank you, David, for bringing this up. Hopefully you get some sense of what you need to do next. Otherwise, feel free to ping me and I can give you further direction. But I think with Jay, for instance, he can also help out, bridge the gap if there is any. So with that being said, let's move on with the agenda.
I had a point. Regarding the reports, both Transact and Indy mentioned that they were down fairly low with contributors compared to where they were. And I'm wondering if this is a seasonal trend or if it's something that the TSC needs to start looking at across all the projects to see if contributor numbers are down. Transact said they were like at 3. And so it would seem that they've, you know, sort of fallen below a level at which we would grant them project status if they were looking to form a new project. Indy's down because of Aries and things like that. So,
yeah, it sounded like in this case, there was more specific to their community where people are focusing on other things right now. And with the split in different projects, it kind of split the resources across the projects. So there are fewer on each project. And tell me if I'm wrong, but that was my reading.
It's interesting. In the insights page, there is a sort of like a top level summarization of all of Hyperledger. Unfortunately, you can't drill down to understand time periods and stuff.
You can, but perhaps we can save that for another call.
Oh, I was just, yeah, okay, if you can, that would be nice.
All right, but so point taken, Mark. We can have another look at that. Let's move on to the election, because we have to make a decision today so that we can stay on par with the plan. So as we discussed earlier, the TSC election is to get started, at least the process. Right, which, you know, is civil. There are several steps into this process. So I put this as a decision. According to a decision we made last year, we have to have a plan presented by the staff and needs to be approved by the TSC at least a month before the actual election. So we need to do that now to stay in sync. And so can you click on that link, Rye? Please, TSC election. So that's the plan that David was talking about earlier. So Dave, you want to say more about this?
Yeah, I mean, we've gone back and forth since I first presented this a few weeks ago. You can see all the questions and updates at the bottom. The most notable change recently is that I've just added a section called communications about when emails will be sent to eligible voters. The timeline is pretty well set above that, and I plan on sending emails out to all eligible voters when nominations are open, when the nominations are about to close, when voting is open, and then when we have results. So that's really all we need to discuss today, because I think the rest of it has been sort of tacitly approved through communications, unless there are any other questions. So.
Yes. So that's what I'm hoping for, that this becomes just an administrative step. You know, as I said, we have a decision we made to approve this. So it's been presented. Some of us have commented, have invited everybody to look at this page and comment as necessary. There were some questions raised and answered. So is there anything else, or can we move to approve this now?
So I guess
the last thing is the elections at list.hyperledger.org, right? That was also set up just recently to handle all of the communications. But yeah, I explained that earlier. Tracy, sorry.
Yeah, no worries, Dave. So a question is the deadline for submissions of nominations, is that September 30th, 31st, whatever the end of September is? Or because it doesn't have like a timeline for when the nominations have to be submitted.
That's a very good catch. Yeah, I intended that the formal announcement of the slate of candidates would close the nominations, but I should probably call that out here on the list. Good catch. I'll add it.
Can you just fix that now?
Yeah, for sure.
Yep, I'm doing it right now.
So we're going to have a month we're going to have a month of that.
I'll end it like a couple days before, so whatever. Yeah, or like, yeah, the 30th of September. Yeah, a month of that. Because this year, if there are third-party nominations, we need to confirm with the person who's being nominated. I ask if you want to nominate somebody else that you first ask them. That's polite. But yeah, we're not going to allow third-party nominations without confirmation. So I'm giving us plenty of time to deal with that. You know, to ask if they actually do want to be nominated.
Okay, good catch, Tracy. Anything else anyone else can spot?
The period where the voting is open falls within one calendar week. Is there a way to spread that across two calendar weeks? So if someone's on vacation that week, they may not see it in their work email and miss the chance to vote. Of course, if they're on vacation for 2 weeks, it wouldn't matter if it was spread over. But
yeah, but if you go by that,
is that a real concern?
It was something that was raised last year. But then again, a lot of people aren't on vacation in October where they are in August. So
that's right. I mean, we did move it to October to deal with this issue. We also are presenting the timeline now. And I'm going to be talking about it in every TSC call from now until we have a slate, or until we have results and the new TSC, assuming their role.
So I don't know. Maybe for between 30th of August and the 1st of October, that's a bit long just to call for nominations on the other end. So maybe we can split a bit of that time, take 1 week off of that and put it in the voting period.
Yep, we can totally do that. That would mean that we could end nominations on the 26th of September and then voting from 27th of September to 10 October. That would give us two full weeks, 14 calendar days.
Yeah, I mean,
is that what we all want to do?
I think that's a good trade-off.
All right. I was going to say it doesn't have to be a two full weeks. It would just span two calendar. Anyway. But whatever.
Yeah, I'll just do that. My internet's kind of going up and down right now, so I'll make the edits as soon as I get on stable internet.
Thank you.
All right, noted. Anything else?
Go back to Rai's question, given your new timeline of the 26th. I think if I understood Rai correctly, the comment was making sure that there was enough time between closing of getting the emails, processing those emails so that you could actually start the vote. So you may want to consider the deadline for nominations to be the 19th and then the vote to be the 26th through the 10th or whatever those dates were that you gave. Just to make sure that you have enough time to do what I think Rye was suggesting is the processing of those nominations and making sure you got the right list.
Yeah, that seems wise. I like that. So that still gives us three weeks. No, it gives us 2 full weeks of nominations, 1 week of getting our stuff together, and then 2 full calendar weeks of voting. Yeah. I think that's a wise timeline. Yeah. Thanks for that feedback, Ryan and Tracy. Anything else?
Can somebody edit the page so that we get the, because I would like us to vote on this now. So,
let me try to do that. My internet.
What do you want? Is a bit spotty. What do you want me to type in where?
So on the timeline. Yep. On the timeline, third item down, or actually second item down, go from 30th August to 19 September. And that should be just like, you know, publish the email template for submitting nominations and open for call, or just add an item below it saying 19 September nominations close. And then we'll formally announce the slate of candidates on the 26th. And then change the date for open the TSC election voting via Condorcet. That'll be 26 September to 10 October. That's all we need.
Yeah, but right, you need to change back the first 19th of September. That was
August. Should be the 30th of August.
Yeah.
This one?
Yeah. Otherwise, there's no time in between. That doesn't work.
So the 31st?
Yeah.
It was the 30th, but yeah, that's fine.
It's fine.
I think it's important to also be a little bit more specific on when things close. Is it end of business? Whose business? What time zone? Midnight, you know, GMT. I think you need to be specific.
I delegate to the TSC. I will update this page as is, and I ask someone to edit this to the way they want it.
I think we should do midnight Pacific.
Dude, the world revolves around the East Coast, man.
Not
the
West Coast. Yeah, dude.
Jeez. No, this is actually to deal with the fact that there are people who are not done with the day, and I think it makes sense too.
I think Pacific is probably right, unless you want to do Guam.
Well, considering Dave is the one that's going to be doing all the work and there's no need for him to stay up until midnight Pacific to do a thing, I wouldn't mind if this was centered around business day Pacific, but that's kind of up to Dave to say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care. I have meetings with people in Russia at 3 a.m. It's not a big deal. If we were to do GMT at the end of the day.
It's not exactly. You don't have to do anything. It's just that when it closes and you don't accept votes and stuff like this, so it's like, okay.
Did you mix Russians and election in the same conversation? What?
I was wondering if anybody caught that.
All right.
If it was around GMT, that's totally fine too, because, you know, midnight GMT is sometime in the middle of my day. So whatever, it doesn't matter. Really, truly doesn't matter to me. Just I'll do whatever you guys want me to do. Midnight Pacific, done.
So I attempted to update that September 19th under J Pacific. Was there another place we needed to add that, Chris, or did I catch what you wanted?
I think it would be the 10th of October, so the close of the TSC election.
Good point.
That is something where you have to actually log in and click a button to end the election. So.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm happy with end of day Pacific.
Yep, me too. It's fine. I don't care.
All right. Are we done?
Rai, could you refresh? I think I just updated that.
Thank you, Tracy, for helping out.
There we go. Got some interwebs.
Okay, so now we're formatting, so that's good. Let's get moving already now. I'm suggesting we approve this plan.
Second.
Yeah, thank you. Do we need to have a roll call there, or?
Let's just do a roll call, man. Let's do one. We haven't done one in a while. I approve.
Well, Angelo?
I approve.
Ardo?
Yes.
Chris?
Yo.
Gary?
Yes.
Art?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nathan?
Yes.
Swetha?
Yes.
Tracy?
Yes.
And I don't think Troy is here either. So there you go.
All right.
The yeses, yos, and whatevers have it.
Okay. So thank you for doing this. It's amazing how this election stuff always takes a lot of time. So back to the agenda. In the few minutes left, I don't think we can really do much, but maybe we can still start a little bit this discussion or continue it because we started a little bit earlier. And so it was brought up again in the context of the Transact report where Gary pointed out, is like, well, Transact was supposed to be working with different projects, but it doesn't. So does it make sense to fold it back into Sawtooth where it's the only project that really uses it? So it brings the general question about, you know, how do we deal with this? We already, as Chris pointed out, you know, we already decided that when we have new project proposals and when they come in, we look at them and they say, we say, oh, this is like, you know, an add-on to this existing project. It should really go into that project rather than exist as a separate project. The problem here is a bit different, is that a project comes in with a broader agenda to, you know, work with multiple frameworks. And then in the end, you know, some months later, whenever, you know, some period of time, it just doesn't happen. And the question is, well, if, you know, should we do in that situation? Should we say, hey, you know, if it had come as a proposal, this is just an extension to Sawtooth, in this case, for instance, Transact, you know, we would have said, yeah, go do that as part of Transact, as part of Sawtooth. That's great. And so shouldn't we revise those projects and say, well, you know, after a certain period of time, if things don't pan out the way the original contributor or proposers came, you know, had anticipated, maybe it's time to, as just a policy of like management of the projects, right, to do a bit of cleaning up and say, maybe we need to fold this into this other project. So that's kind of, you know, and I ideally we would have a policy to deal with this like we have for many other things. And my point on this is, well, maybe it's not possible to have a general policy, although maybe there is. We could set a deadline and say, after so much, you know, time, if it's only related to one project, it doesn't matter whether the intent was broader than that or not. We fold it. If we can't have a general policy, how do we deal with it on a case-by-case basis? So that's kind of the premise. And we probably won't have time to get over this today, but we can start it. And I'm happy to discuss this further on next call.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, when I wrote this as a quick thing, just so, and again, it wasn't any malfeasance or anything on like malintent or anything like that. And it just so happened that I happened to be working with, when I read that thing, I was looking at etcd Raft. Just because we use etcd Raft. And I was like, well, you know, etcd Raft, you know, there's etcd, the product, we all know, they built a Raft implementation. Turns out etcd Raft is a Go library that people use. Hyperledger Fabric uses it, Docker uses it, Kubernetes, like other Cockroach DB uses it. So turns out that it's a component initially developed for etcd, but shared into other projects. So that kind of got me thinking, well, I'm like, well, there's kind of a parent for this one, you know, Sawtooth. And even though the fact that it might want to be used somewhere else, it's really kind of just a library or a component with a key tie. Would it make sense to be in that structure rather than to put it under, rather than to put this under, you know, a top level kind of project, you know, review structure. So that's kind of just where my head was at, just in case. Or I know some that I'm nicely, but that's kind of just where, what I was looking at when I was thinking that. So.
All right. Thanks for that. And Dano, I'd like to point out to you, because you responded to Gary's message on the comment. And I have to admit, I'm not sure exactly what you were saying. So if you could further explain, at least for my benefit, I would appreciate.
So there are multiple clients that implement Ethereum, not just Besu. There's Geth, Nethermind, Open Ethereum. And there's some projects out there that work with all four of the clients, including Besu. One in labs, the message mesh that's, I forgot the name of it, but it's the one that Yaz is running. If that were to come into as a main project, would the preference of the TSC be that it be a standalone project, even though the only DLT under Hyperledger it works with is Besu, or should it be part of Besu, even though it works with more than just Besu? So
okay,
stuff like that coming down the pike.
It might be used by somebody else outside of Hyperledger.
Right.
That's your point. I thought that's what it is. Okay. Yeah, so in this case, for instance, go back to the Transact example. If it turns out that some of the projects can be pointed to and say, hey, but they use Transact, they don't use Sawtooth. So that justifies keeping Transact as a separate project. That's what you're saying, right? I mean, that's totally a reasonable point. I think if there is a case like this, I mean, a policy, whether we have a general policy or on a case-by-case basis, you know, this could be taken into account for sure.
So, or at least a recommendation which direction to start.
So a question would be, if we move, just for sake of example, we move Transact back under Sawtooth, and Sawtooth decides they don't care about Transact anymore, can they, you know, can they kill it off as it's just under them? Or, you know, how does that happen? You know, if something becomes a sub-project of another project, can it just get killed off?
You know, there's a lot of longer-term questions that we have much less than a minute to resolve. One thing I might just propose is that the TSC responds back to Transact and suggests, you know, is there a time where, you know, there's a next.0 release of Transact being, you know, at the starting places are being planned, where there could be some outreach to the other frameworks to see, you know, is this a useful time to revisit the original goal of Transact, right? Just as like a way of focusing back and asking and engaging the Transact maintainers on how might we get back to some of that original vision.
All right, so we're out of time, unfortunately, but I'm happy to continue this discussion. I do think there's something important here for us to do, and it really falls into, you know, the scope of the things that TSC needs to worry about is the management of the overall projects, right? And so I think if we can come up with some rules, that would be good. And so not necessarily just, you know, pertaining to Transact, although that could be an example we can use for sure. All right. With that being said, let's keep it at this so everybody gets the time they deserve. We are moving on. So thank you all for calling today. We'll join you again next week or the following.